Thrill Me.
This show is part of the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Experience more on Facebook and YouTube.
Let's get rocking!
It's time for the Metal Groove.
We're fighters for truth, justice, and the American way.
A podcast dedicated to music.
Party on, dude!
Extreme close up!
Here's your metal host.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Tombstone Josh.
I'm your Huckleberry.
What's up, everybody, and welcome in to a brand new episode of the Metal Groove Podcast. You guys are tuned in to the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button while you're here. Make sure you check out all of the shows that we have going on in this network, whether it's the Review at Rob show, Improper Guidance, or the Mr. Wonderful show. You are on tap for some great, funny, good content. Guaranteed, and I can promise you guys that. But as for this show, I hope you guys had a great start to your week. We're going to kick this show off in some awesome fashion right here in a second, kind of help this Metal Monday just punch, get through this week, get it started, ready to rock some faces. But I do want to check in. I hope everybody had an awesome weekend. Per usual, you know I had an awesome, awesome weekend. It was a good, relaxing weekend. My band Time and Pressure played a show. Good times. The randomness of that show was probably my favorite part of it. We kind of just threw out, hey, you guys want to do this song? All right, let's do it. Or somebody would start to play a song, and then we would just finish it out the best we could. Like, I just threw American Band in there out of nowhere just because, you know, hey, I love my cowbell. So I started playing cowbell. We played that, and then we did the first verse of that song. So it was a ton of fun. As usual, I had a great time out there, you know, playing the drums. One of my favorite things to do in the world is play the drums. So I'm always having a good time while I'm out there. But other than that, it was a good, relaxing weekend. Watched a lot of football. Hung out with my brother, Mr. Review at Rob. He came over. We did the Pilk Challenge, if you guys aren't aware of what that is. That is the Pepsi and milk combination. It's a promotion that Pepsi has going on right now. And that's not a promotional push just because I work for them and because I love my job and the company I work for. I'm just saying we did do that because we saw it was out there. I think they had Lindsay Lohan as one of the sales ads. I was like, you know what? Hey, let's go ahead and give this a shot. Check out the video. I think it is absolutely hilarious. And I'm not going to give any spoilers here about what my thoughts were. But maybe you can guess. I'm kind of biased when it comes to stuff like that. But anyways, the weekend was really awesome. Got some Christmas decorations put up, kind of. You know, hey, some of them didn't work. I was kind of pissed off about that. You put it up, you put the lights up, you plug them in. Hey, man, everything's good here. And then you go, you put them up, you go through all that time, put them up, and half of them don't work. Like, what the hell? Come on, man, get it together, guys. Come on, let's all work together here. But anyways, so I got some fixing to do whenever I get home. So that's on the agenda. But also on the agenda is talking to you guys about some heavy metal stuff. We're going to do a news article and then a fun article, a fun discussion towards the end of the show. I think it's cool, man. I think it's a good topic to bring up. I think it's something people need to think about or talk about. And also, I want to hear some of you guys' thoughts about it. And I'm going to give mine. But that's a little teaser for what's going on later in the show. I'm not doing an interview this week. I do have a band lined up for you guys next week that I think is going to be awesome. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. But this week, we're going back to basics. But the topic for this week's show is, if your favorite band told you to put away your phone during their show, would you do it? So if you, like for example, like I just said, Steel Panther, if I'm going there, I'm wanting to take some pictures and videos, but if they said beforehand, hey, no pictures, no video, what are your thoughts on that? Like, what would you do if that was a thing? And I feel like if it was a request of the band, if it was something the band wanted, you know, I would honor that. I would honor that, what they were asking, and I would put my phone away, and I would just live in the moment. But that's the topic for this week. A band called Placebo is asking fans not to film or take pictures at their shows. Instead, they want them to, quote, be there now and in the present, enjoy the moment. But will it work? Do you think people will be able to keep from bringing their cell phones out? Because it just feels like such a natural thing to do these days. Like, oh, something cool is going on. Oh, something's happening. Let me get a picture of this. Let me get a video of this while I'm living it in the moment instead of just paying attention. I feel like I do that with all things, to be honest with you, whether I'm at a theme park, a parade, a sporting event, anything, a concert, anything going on. I feel like
I do that. So it's like a natural reflex to do that. So would it be hard to put it away? Would it be hard for you to not want to take pictures and videos if it was a request of the band? So, cell phones at concerts, are they unavoidable? If your favorite band asked you to not use yours during their shows, would you comply or would you defy? I feel like I would be on the side of complying. I feel like there's lots of shows you go to. Like, for example, I'm pretty sure the stunt show at Universal says no video, no photo. Again, that's like a 5 to 10 to 20 minute thing that's going on. These concerts are, you know, sometimes hours long, and you do kind of get complacent sometimes, and you just pull out your phone out of habit to look at it. And maybe while you got your phone out, you want to take a picture or something. I think that I would comply to that. I would like to know what you guys think. Would you defy it? Would you comply? I feel like it's just a respectable thing to do is to comply to it, man. And it's also, the band also goes on to say, it is also disrespectful to your fellow concert goers who want to watch the show, not the back of your phone, or the front of your phone, actually. please be here and now in the present and enjoy the moment, because this exact moment will never, ever happen again. On purpose is to create communion and transcendence. Please help us in our mission. So that's cool. I'm glad they have that goal out there. I can completely understand it, man. I will say though, that if you like watch wrestling events, like when Bray Wyatt comes out and everybody has their flashlights on for the Fireflies, like I know that's a part of being something, but it's just such a cool moment, you know, and it's not like they were told not to have their phones. So I maybe it doesn't relate in the same way. But you know, if you see like other concerts where, you know, they have their flashlights on, swaying them in the sky, that's a cool moment to be a part of. But again, I have to go with that specific band didn't ask you not to do it. So yeah, I think I'm on the side of, if they ask you to not do it, I would not do it. If I knew that going in, I would just go ahead and leave my phone in my car. Actually, I would just leave it there, go inside, enjoy. Well, my ticket's probably going to be on my phone actually. So I don't know. We'll figure it out. Maybe I'll turn it. I'll let them scan my ticket. I'll go inside, and turn my phone off and just put it away for the night. So I think I can do that. You know, those were the good old days when we didn't even have phones. You could go to places and you didn't even have anything to take pictures or videos with. That's kind of weird thinking about it now. Back in the day, but maybe I wasn't quite old enough to go to these big arena shows that I needed to get pictures for anyways. But that was a cool topic that was sent to me by my buddy Mr. Wonderful. It's a good topic, man. I want to know what you guys think about it. If you guys think it would be hard to put your phone away for a couple hours and just enjoy the show, I don't think it would be that bad. Like I said, you get complacent sometimes, you just want to grab it, but I think once you're there, you're in the moment, you're playing along, you know, you're enjoying it. Yeah, I think I could do it, man. I think I would be on the side of comply. Maybe that's something bands will turn to do more in the future. And maybe as a side topic to go with this, if a band said you couldn't have your phone or you shouldn't bring your phone out, would you still want to go? That's a question. Cool, man. So let me know what you guys think about that. I know there's been times where maybe it was at the Sum 41 show that we went to, but I remember the lady in front of me was filming the whole time, and I did kind of look and was like, golly, man, why don't you just put the phone down and enjoy what's happening right here in front of your face? But that's a weird one. Yeah, I'm definitely not one of those that would record the whole thing. I feel like I like to get special moments sometimes, whether it's like a cover song or somebody soloing or something like that. But yeah, I don't think it would be that hard to put the phone away, to be honest with you. The more I consider it. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Let me know what you guys think about that. What side you guys fall on. Pretty fun topic. Thank you, Mr. Wonderful, for sending it over to me. All right, let's dive into a song from an awesome band that would be like one of those bands I'd want to take a picture, you know, make a video, kind of mark the occasion of being there. But hey, if Dave Mustaine was going to say, hey, put your fucking phone away, I would do it with no problem whatsoever. Let's go ahead and jump into this song. Make sure you crank this up because it's a good one. But hey, this is Megadeth with Angry Again. Be right back.
Voice. My ears are overcome with noise. You show and tell with greatest ease. Raving possibilities. Engage in crime, I grasp my throat and raise my mind. Starts to smoke for us mental overload. Angry again, angry. Ow! And when the story takes a twist, it folds like a contortionist. Sleight of hand, quick it's changed. The old tricks have been rearranged.
Welcome back into the show, everybody. That was Angry Again by Megadeth. I'm not exactly sure why I picked that one. The other song on my brain was Angry Chair by Alice in Chains. I'm not in an angry mood. That's just the first two songs I thought of to kick off the show. But anyways, maybe next week we'll play some Alice in Chains. But welcome back in. I hope you guys enjoyed that one. One of these days, I'm going to get my band to cover some Megadeth. And it's going to be so much fun. Also, after watching the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame over and over, since I did my top 10 list for Judas Priest songs, I want to do a Judas Priest song, man. So if you guys haven't seen that episode that I did, my top 10 Judas Priest songs, go check it out, man. It's a good episode, a lot of fun. Let me know your thoughts about that band as well. But the first article I'm going to throw at you guys is regarding kind of a silly story regarding the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I just thought it would be fun to bring up. But since so much I'm talking about it already, I just want to go ahead and give a mini review of the Hall of Fame. If you guys haven't seen it yet, it's probably one of the better ones I've seen in a long time. There was a stacked lineup of people going in, and there was a lot of standout moments for me. I'll just say right off the rip, I thought was never, ever a fan of Duran Duran. Like, of course, they have their catchy tunes that you know just from back in the day because they've been played everywhere. Like Hungry Like a Wolf, the first thing I think of with that is the movie Big Fat Liar with Amanda Bynes and Frankie Muniz. But anyways, it's a great song, man. It's a great poppy 80s song. But I was never really a fan of the band, but they went in. Congrats to them. But their performance was good, man. Hey, man, they did a great job. That was a good way to kick off the show. But I will say, I believe Pat Benatar went in next. I was not ready for it. I, of course, I know of her.
was never really, didn't really listen to her songs. You know, you'd hear them on the radio, whatever. She put on a phenomenal performance, man. She can still sing her ass off. It was great, man. She, like, that one stands out to me. That one and the Judas Priest ones just stand out to me. So she went in also with her husband, who's the guitar player. The Eurythmics were there. They did a great job. Eminem went in. He did a great job. His speech was kind of silly and kind of just not, you know, what you would expect from him. Kind of short and sweet, I guess. Judas Priest was in. Their performance was so good. It's hilarious to me because you see the double drums up there and one of them is just going ham. You know what I mean? Like, their drummer that they have now is just going crazy. And then their original drummer, first drummer, he kind of just looks like he's just trying to keep up. I was like, man, there's like, what is going on here? But anyways, it was fun to watch. But their performance stands out to me big time. So I really, really enjoyed that as well. And then Dolly Parton. So this is where we're getting to the article part I have for you guys this week. Dolly Parton went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it's not always about the type of music you play, but sometimes it's about the legacy that you built and kind of doing things your own way. And it's kind of like rock and roll to just write your own story and just kind of do your own thing, grab it by the balls. Well, in Dolly's case, I mean, I don't know. But anyways, just kind of go with it. And, you know, she's been around forever. She's a legend. So she went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well. She did do a song, which I thought was incredibly corny. And I mean, it still sounded country to me, but, I don't know, man. Let's talk a little bit about Dolly, because since that show, she has come out to say she's going to do a rock album. Like, whenever she was talking, she's like, I guess she was saying she guesses that she's a rock star now, so she might as well do a rock album. The first article I want to talk to you guys about, Dolly Parton confirms her rock album is happening, reveals some of the legends that she is going to be covering. So, like she said she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She had to earn it. She wants to put out a rock album. I thought she was just being silly. But she's a go-getter, man. She has been her whole life, and it seems like the type of person that if she sets her mind to something, she's gonna do it. I mean, for Christ's sake, she's got a freaking theme park. I mean, hey, our network talks about theme parks. We probably need to be talking about Dollywood more often because it's a pretty badass park. But anyways, I'm gonna go ahead and talk about this right now. Dolly Parton has let it be known that with her Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, she intends to record her first ever rock album. She even wrote and performed an original song during her Rock Hall induction. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's kind of silly. To me, it still sounds kind of country, but, you know, hey, maybe that's what she can do. Maybe that's what her rock range is. We all know there's different kind of genres of rock. Maybe that's hers. I believe the Zac Brown Band backed her up, and they're a pretty good band. Got nothing against them. She's also sharing some more details about her forthcoming full-length record, including some of the named talent joining her, and reveal several acts she intends to cover. Parton to drop bits and pieces of info along the way, including guest turn by former Journey vocalist Steve Perry and her desire to reunite Led Zeppelin's Robert Plant and Jimmy Page. If anybody can get them together, it's probably Dolly Parton. But she was even more forthcoming during her recent appearance on the Jimmy Fallon show. She said, "Since I'm a rock star now, and that's what they say, it was such an honor, you know. I'm making an album too, because I have to live up to all that hype. I didn't mean to start any controversy, but when they said they wanted me to put me in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I always thought it was kind of for people that just played rock music. You don't see Led Zeppelin going into the Country Music Hall of Fame, although they probably could." Parton confirmed that the record would come out next fall and that she would be calling the album Rockstar. "I'm actually going to have some cameo people on there and some originals. We're going to have a lot of great iconic songs like Purple Rain, I Can't Get No Satisfaction, Stairway to Heaven, Free Bird, but I'm also going to be having a few guest artists on there," she said. So stay tuned to see what Dolly Parton has coming down the pike. I'm sure it's going to be interesting. And those couple of songs that she said she's going to cover, those are right in her wheelhouse anyway. So it's going to be pretty interesting. All right, let's get back into the heavy section of this show. Metallica. Everybody knows Metallica. I guess it's kind of weird I kicked off the show with Megadeth when I knew I was going to be talking about Metallica. But hey, that's just how my crazy brain works. But Metallica just dropped a song last week called Lux Aeterna. Okay? Lux Aeterna. Now let's talk about the song. First of all, let's do a little review on it. There are certain things I go into whenever I'm listening to a Metallica song, okay? And that is phenomenal riffage, killer guitar solo, good backbeat by Lars, killer bass work, okay? So Metallica as a whole, as a roundabout band, are phenomenal. Those pieces put together make this beautiful metal puzzle that we all enjoy. So what does Lux Aeterna mean?
It's Eternal Light. Okay, so Metallica has a new album coming out next April, and this is the lead single off of that album. So let's talk about the song. I think the song is awesome, great, upbeat, kind of has like a higher pitch, kind of a old school vibe to it, you know, not that kind of like that muddy down tone maybe their last album had, if I'm kind of remembering it correctly. So I already like the sound of the guitars in this. The guitar solo is, oh, phenomenal, man. Kirk, great job, my friend. Great job on the guitar solo here. Really, really good stuff. I've seen a lot of people complaining about drums, the kick drum sound here. You know, of course, there was some controversy back in the day. People didn't like the way the snare sounded, which I can... what album was that? Was it Saint Anger? The snare sounded weird on Saint Anger. People didn't like that, which it does. It sounds a little off, whatever. You know, they can do whatever the hell they want to. That's what they wanted for that. But a lot of people are complaining about the way the kick drum sounds. It does kind of have like an electronic drum sound. Kind of like not as full, not as punchy kind of a kick drum sound. It's not very deep, but it doesn't bother me. I think it sounds fine. Lars' drum work is really good. You know, he's not my favorite drummer of all time. I think what he does suits what the band needs. So, you know, what he's doing is awesome, man. So good for them. I think the song's really good. I think it's a great lead single for what's to come from this new album. Where James Hetfield got the idea for Metallica's new upcoming album that's going to be called 72 Seasons. So we've already listened to the lead single off of it. Lucky James Hetfield filled in the blanks. 72 Seasons came out of a book I was reading about childhood, basically, he said, and sorting out childhood as an adult. And 72 Seasons is basically the first 18 years of your life. And how do you evolve and grow and mature and develop your own ideas and identity and self after those first 72 seasons? The veteran singer guitarist then added, some things are more difficult than others. You know, some things you can't unsee and they're with you for the rest of your life, and other things you're able to rewind the tape and make a new tape of your own life. You know, kind of saying that you learn from stuff from your past and how to change those things so you don't keep making the same crazy steps going forward. That's the real interesting part for me, he goes on to say, is how you're able to address those situations as adult and mature. Mm-hmm. Speaking about his own path, Hetfield commented, there's been a lot of darkness in my life and in our career and things that have happened to us, but always having a sense of hope, always having the light that is that darkness. Without darkness, there is no light, and being able to focus a little more on the light in life instead of all how it used to be, how horrible it was. There are a lot of good things going on in life, focusing on that instead, and it helps become a balance out in my life. And there's no one meaning to it. Everyone has a sense of hope or light in their life, and obviously music is mine. The 72 Seasons album is set for an April 14th release. In other news, Metallica also just announced a massive world tour that carries them through 2023 and into 2024. I believe they're going to be touring with Pantera and a couple other bands. I didn't see the exact lineup. But yeah, good for them, man. I'm pretty stoked for the new Metallica. All right, now speaking of Lars, I wanted to bring up this one last article because, you know, hey, he's a drummer. I'm a drummer. I relate to drummers, and I thought this was kind of a funny thing that Howard Stern asked him. I was like, hey, could he actually do it? That's the question. I don't think so, but I'll go ahead and throw it out there to you guys. I feel like Lars sticks in his own realm. But anyways, Lars was on the Howard Stern show, and Howard asked him if he can play Rush covers on the drums. You know how Lars is? Very straightforward. I feel like if somebody was to walk up to me and say, hey, can you play Rush covers on the drums? Or, hey, can you play Van Halen covers on the drums? I'm like, hey, I'm going to give it my best damn shot that I can. But in an interview, Howard asked Lars about covering other bands and if he would be able to play any Rush songs on the drums. The topic was brought up because of Lars being at the Taylor Hawkins tribute shows where he covered some Black Sabbath and some AC/DC songs, which to me that feels about right for what Lars does. It's kind of his wheelhouse, kind of like good, straightforward driving metal rock music, nothing too crazy going on. And if you know anything about Neil Peart's drumming, there is some crazy going on. But Lars does say straying outside of the Metallica world is not the most comfortable thing for me, he admits. I think a big part of why we just love staying inside the Metallica universe is because there's that safety in numbers and we just support each other and have that thing. But playing with Grohl and the other three Foo Fighter guys when we were at Wembley, we did the Brian Johnson AC/DC song. And it was just really fun to play. Ulrich, who guested on Howard Stern's show to promote the Metallica's upcoming album we just talked about,
Like, he used the exact word I use, which is wheelhouse, in describing what type of cover songs are more in his comfort zone and with an energy he's more familiar with. I love Rush, but if they had said, come up and play 2112 with Alex and Geddy, I'd go, I think there's somebody more qualified to do that than me. I'm glad he's not being super big-headed about it and kind of having an ego, which kind of seems different than what I'm used to seeing about Lars. It's cool that he's actually thinking, like, hey, maybe I could, but I'd probably jack some stuff up. Kind of the same way I'd be. You know what I mean? I'd give it up there and give it a hell of a shot and a try, but I definitely know I would mess some things up. Lars goes on to say, but playing those AC/DC songs with the Foo Fighter guys and with Brian was just a next-level magical experience. And then in L.A., a couple weeks later, we did the Black Sabbath song with Geezer Butler. But going back to talking about Rush and doing those songs, Stern says, hey, could you play the Rush stuff if the two surviving members had asked you? Could I do it? Obviously, playing with Alex and Geddy would be incredible. But he named Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer Chad Smith and then Dave Grohl as two peers who have handled the Rush material pretty well on stage at the tribute events. As for himself tackling Rush, it would be an uphill thing, he says. It would take a lot of rehearsal, a lot of prep. 2112 would probably be too much of a bite off the apple for me, Ulrich admits, and for any drummer, that particular prog rock epic would be quite the challenge. Going back to what he enjoys most, the Metallica Skinman reiterates, but in terms of just feeling comfortable and kind of doing the thing that exists sort of where I am, that AC/DC stuff is right in my pocket. So he's kind of along the lines on what I was thinking about as far as what I would guess would be his realm of drumming. And it's kind of cool to see that, like I said earlier, the ego doesn't seem to be there. I feel like I saw an article recently where he was even talking about the Napster thing and what that was like back in the day and how now he just feels like he's over it, man. He just wants to live. He wants Metallica music to be everywhere. I believe it was talking about the Stranger Things stuff with Master of Puppets being in there, you know, and a lot of people said, oh, this is Metallica's song. It's probably going to be hard, you know, to get rights to it. But it seems like they've really come off being such hard asses about it. And they're, you know, spreading their music around the world, which is awesome. I mean, they're already worldwide, but the fact that they're sharing it in ways, and it's just awesome, man. Am I becoming a fan of Lars? Is Lars cool now? Well, that's to be determined. All right, so Metallica has a new album coming out next year. It also seems that Korn has a live album in the works called Requiem Mass. Korn originally played their Requiem Mass show on February 3rd of this year at the Hollywood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. The band will release the non-acoustic portion of the show as a new live album called Requiem Mass on February 3rd, 2023. The CD version will feature the live album plus Korn's new album, Requiem, while the vinyl edition will only feature the five songs found on Requiem Mass with an etching on the B-side. Cool, man. So Korn has some stuff coming out. Never really been a giant fan of them. But hey, they got new stuff coming out. That's cool. Good for them. All right. So let's talk about the big thing that happened over the weekend in the world of metal. We've been talking about this for months and months, it seems. But Pantera, and whatever formation and whatever they are, Pantera is back. They made their debut at a festival this past weekend. And, you know, from all things I've seen, from all the videos I have watched, from all fan reaction, which I'm going to read a few here in just a second, Zakk Wylde filling in and Charlie Benante filling in on drums. Seems to be a great fit, man. All the videos I've heard, they sound incredibly phenomenal. You know, they had a great kind of, they did like the 90 to 2000 studio catalog, just kind of rolled through their classic hits. They had a gigantic red backdrop and a banner featuring their logo. I mean, Phil, he sounded great singing. They were the headlining act of the festival. They also had people playing like Venom, Possessed, Cradle of Filth, Arch Enemy, you know, but they were back, man. It seemed like they were back with a vengeance, with a punch. There's barely a single tune from the glory days that, I mean, it could be vintage, but they turned it into this just mayhem of just awesomeness. They played songs like Domination and Hollow. Walk. I mean, just what I heard from the opening riff. Zakk Wylde he's nailing it, man. He sounds so good. The guitar solo sounded so good. Naturally, it would never be the same as it was before without the original members, but I think, man, for what they could do, for what they are doing, and it being their first show together, man, I think they absolutely crushed it, man. So good for them.
I do believe they're going to be going on tour with Metallica. I think I read that somewhere. They're going to be part of Metallica's tour. Maybe they're one of the acts that's going to be joining them at some point. A couple articles I found, you know, revolving around their show this past weekend. Charlie Benante, the band sounded fantastic. And given their touring schedule stretching all the way into 2024, it seems like Pantera is going to be sticking around for a bit. Charlie went on to say, if I was saying I wasn't nervous, I'd be lying. The excitement, the fear, the emotions, the love, and the work that went into doing all of this, it all played a big part in my head. When I got up there, it all seemed to disappear. I looked at Phil, I looked at Rex, I looked at Zach, and I felt the connection, and bam, this just new level started and we were off. I kept looking down at my set list and was getting hyped up for the next song. So I'm glad he's stoked about it. That's awesome. Let's get to some of these fan reactions. Because that's been the kind of the polar opposite things going on about, you know, fans of the original band. They didn't think they were going to do a good job. Then there was other people that were super stoked about it. But now that Pantera has played their first live show with Zakk Wylde, Charlie Benante, stepping in for the late Dimebag Darrell and Vinnie Paul, fans have begun to react to the performance. Let's read some of them, actually. Let me pull these things up. Phil sounds so much better than I expected. Charlie is spot on with the drums, and Zach Six sounds great, but he definitely doesn't sound exactly like Dime. It just shows how amazing Dime was. Nobody can duplicate his tone. I mean, yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, you're going to have Zach doing the best he can, plus throwing in his normal Zakk Wylde stuff. But I think he sounded pretty good, man. Pleasantly surprised. Charlie's kit sounds like Vinny's. Phil sounds excellent too. Another fan goes out, well, watch Pantera footage, and it was like a Belushi-style speedball shot of happiness and sadness, because damn, I miss Vin and Dime up there. Having said all of this, I can say is, wow, I felt 18 again. Fucking awesome. Cool, man. Pantera will never be the same. Why bother trying? It's not working anymore. One fan goes on to say, Zakk Wylde actually posted a tweet saying Pantera will be joining, there it is, Pantera will be joining Metallica. That's what I thought I saw that somewhere. Pantera will be joining Metallica for the U.S. dates of their M27 tour. Looks like they're going to be going, are they going to be coming close? Nah, it doesn't look like they're going to be closing just yet. So there's mixed reviews from the fans out there. It looks like a lot more positive than negative, man. So good for them on that spot as well. Okay, so now, hey, man, they're playing together. They're touring together. What about the potential for new music? All right, Charlie Benante, I'm potentially writing new Pantera material. I don't know how people would react to that. He goes on to say, who knows? Creatively, if we are just flowing and getting going and things are starting to be really good, musically speaking, you never know what could happen. I've got a ton of riffs, but we're putting the cart before the horse. I like the positivity there, but I don't know how people would react to either at this point. How would you guys feel about that? How would you guys feel about a Pantera album without the original members? Should they call it a different band? I'm kind of up in the air about that. I feel like if there's going to be two new members writing new music, maybe it should be under a different name, man. Maybe it should be under a different name. I think that's what I'm going to stick to now. For the time being, but I'm glad to see they're on stage. They're killing it. They sound phenomenal. I've always been a fan of Zakk Wylde anyway, so I'm gonna keep checking it out, man. Anytime I see a video pop up, I'm gonna watch it. But yeah, we're gonna take a break real quick. We're gonna play another song. But if you guys want to let me know what you guys think of the new Metallica song, or what you guys think of how Pantera sounded over the weekend, please let me know. All right, for this week's episode, that is a wrap. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me. It's been a good time. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. Follow us here at the Thrill Me Podcast Network. You can find all of our shows on all of the pod catchers. You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Lots of good stuff floating around out there by us. Thank you guys so much for support. Check out our Tee Public store as well. But until next time, stay metal. That's the show for this week. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Hey, be a friend, tell a friend. Please like and share this and join us over at the Thrill Me Podcast Network on Facebook and YouTube. Be sure to check out Honor's Podcast, The Review at Rob Show, The Mr. Wonderful Show, and Zach's Speakeasy as well. This incredible lineup is brought to you by the Thrill Me Podcast Network. And hey, until next time, stay metal.